It's not Big Bang. I don't see anything about Chuck Lorre in it. And to me, Chuck Lorre is the quintessential piece of Big Bang Theory. He's the thing that makes Big Bang Theory the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, he's amazing.
And he's had great shows.
So do you say Chuck Lorre or Chuck Lorre?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was Chuck Lorre. Lorre's probably right.
Well, maybe.
Lorre's probably right.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it's episode 141 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. Hold on, did I sound weird when I said that? I sounded like I was already slurring. I haven't even had the 13%er. It's 141 of the Trailer Junkies podcast.
There you go. Slow it down for the people going 1.25.
Well, I'm trying to make sure that they go at the same rate we go at. Funny with that, though, is I edit really fast. So I edit like at 1.5 to 1.75. Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, I have to slow it down to listen to see what it sounds like, because I want to make sure the timing's right for something.
Right.
And man, we sound smashed at regular speed because, like, your ears, your brain.
You get used to that.
Yeah, your brain catches up to 1.75 speed, and then you slow it down. You're just like, it sounds like you're just like wasted.
Well, speaking of wasted,
this is a big beer tonight. Why don't we just jump into it and we could get into everything else? So
let's do it.
You gave me a second beer last
week.
That's
right.
We had the Honey Buzz, whatever it was, from
Buzzworthy from Smog City.
Okay, Ted just told you. And this is B-Bomb, a 2019 limited release from Fremont, because beer matters.
That's right.
And it is, what did you say this was, a 13 or something?
It's 13.2. It went down from the 2018. The 2018 was 14 even.
Oh, 13.2.
So this went down a little bit.
This is, but you've had this before, and this is a waxed top that just has always got you bewildered. So we were going to open the wax first, but I told him, I said, I wanted to have the on-air struggling with the wax.
The struggle. And
I'm going to edit it down, I'm sure. But they give you this little tail, like it's going to make a difference, and all it does is just break off.
Breaks right.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I mean, they should really just, I mean, can we talk to the Fremont people a little bit? Can we just say, let's put a string in this? You know, somebody just, all you have to do is put a nice, you know, wick kind of string in it.
Like a tampon.
And just make it so I don't stab myself with this.
Yeah, I have like a
and then
knife
I'll bleed
out
all
right
over the
here,
place.
You know? Yeah, I know. Uh-oh. Oh, God. Yeah.
It's some thick wax.
Oh, dude.
Like their wax.
All I got to say is this is, oh, here we go. Slice up the side. Yeah, I got a knife here. I mean, I'm worried about losing a finger trying to open this thing. You know what's going to be funny, though? Like, somebody will lose a finger and then they'll sue.
Fremont.
Americans love to be litigious, you know? And then, like, they're going to be like, you go for the 2020 and you're going to be like, what happened to the wax? Nope, we lost our shirt on that lawsuit. I know. This is brutal, dude.
You got to earn your beer.
Oh, my God. It's making me thirstier. I don't know. Okay. This is getting.
There, I got it.
Got yours. Oh, it was a race. You beat me. I'm almost there, though.
I will say, so the quality between the two wax, last week's Smog City, it was kind of flaky. It was like...
It was a brittle wax.
It was not like this. This is like a plastic wax.
Yeah, the other one was brittle. Like, as you did it, it like exploded everywhere. Dude, I'm still struggling.
All right, you got it right to the neck there. And while you do that, I'll pop mine because I got it going. Oh, beautiful. Mmm.
I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to have it tonight. I don't think so. Ugh. Holy mackerel. I'm just going to see if I can take it off with the wax intact.
Yeah, do that. Use that belt buckle. What is that? Is that your belt buckle one?
No, it's not a belt buckle. It's a. It was my award for Tahoe Trail 100 finisher.
There you go.
All right, man. Let me pour this sucker.
That worked.
And I'm going to share some with Clarissa, too. I know Anne, you know, lucky you, doesn't drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
That means you don't have to share. But I do want to wake up tomorrow, so I'm not going to have too much of this. So what are your thoughts?
So I love it. I love this B bomb every time I drink it. I think we've had the 18. We've had the 18 before. It's chocolatey smooth.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just a beautiful dark chocolate.
It's wonderful.
And you know, the 13%, barely taste it. You know, it's like a
It's bottle conditioned too. You can't even tell this sucker's 13. I mean, it has a little bit of that alcohol.
It has the vapor.
The vapor, right.
You can catch the vapor with your nose, and that's it.
Yeah, the vapor. Well, I think the vapor catches it on the back end and then comes back up through the sinuses.
Yeah.
But as it's on the palate and stuff, no, it's totally chocolatey smooth. I mean, you don't catch any hint of alcohol, bourbon type, you know, that whiskey type alcohol that you get.
Right.
I mean, this is really terrific. Again, many thanks. Many huge thanks going out.
Well, I don't homebrew, so I can't give you my turns at homebrewing, but
yeah, but you probably give me better beer than I give you. All right, man. So week. Tell me about your week. How was it? Short week. We talked Sunday and now it's Friday, so we pretty much had the weekdays, no weekends.
This week I guess Black Friday, we ordered a dishwasher. We've been out of a dishwasher for over a year now.
I remember that. We were talking about that.
And then I was like, I guess I need some channel locks or something. So
everybody gets their own spoon. That's all you get.
So I went over to Frank's and I said, Frank, can I borrow? What did I ask him to borrow?
Channel locks, he said.
Some channel locks, yeah. And he goes, oh, what you got going on? I was like, a dishwasher. And he's like, oh, do you need a hand? And I was like, oh, I don't turn down help, Frank. But, you know, like, so we were in the house, both of us with our masks on the whole time. The whole rest of the family was relegated to other parts of the house. And he and I battled this thing. It was,
Was it that hard to install?
It was just like, the old one was so old that it had like a different size everything. You know, it was nothing lined up exactly. So we had to run to Home Depot for a bracket and a thing, and you know, and then like I was, we go to slide it in and it slides in, and we're finally like, we're about 2 hours into this thing, you know, I slide it in and I was like, Frank, we didn't plug anything. I don't even remember seeing a cord come out of that thing.
Don't tell me you had to take it all out to plug it back in.
Yeah, we took it out and it's got no cord. It's just got a junction box.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's how mine was, if I recall. And then you had to wire up a plug to it.
You have to wire it up to the thing. And I was like, I was like, now I got to go back. We just came back from Home Depot. We were like so victorious getting that elbow, you know.
Every project is like five trips to the store, man.
But he was like, oh, but you have the old one. Let's just look at the junction box of the old one, because the old one was just a straight plug, you know.
Plugs in the wall, right?
Yeah. We unwired the other one and we put the plug on it. I was like, oh, but this says you have to like, you have to have it like hardwired to your house. He goes, no, you don't. So I was like, thank God.
No, ours isn't even hardwired to the house. I mean, it's I remember doing the junction box and that plugs into the wall outlet underneath the sink.
That worked. But it was a lot. And
what brand is it?
We got GE.
GE.
And I was like, I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. You know, let's not go top dollar. Let's just make sure it looks stainless, looks nice. And GE got me on their dry technology. You know, whenever you pull out Tupperware, it's always like wet.
And then you got to shake it off and leave it on the counter for a day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So that was our routine, right?
Ours too.
And as I was reading stuff, GE said, oh, we have even heat technology.
That melts the plastic together evenly.
It says it dries plastic. It dries plastic. No more doing the dishes after you do the dishes. And I was like, all right, you sold me on that. And it's a nice Black Friday deal. So we got it. And then, like,
where did you get it from? Best Buy or something?
I got it from Best Buy. Yeah. And then that first load I put in there, I was like loading up the Tupperware on the top shelf, you know? And then the next morning I woke up like a kid on Christmas morning. I ran out to the dishwasher, opened it up. It was dry as a bone.
Oh man.
I was like, even heat technology, you got it.
Baby, as you listen to this, don't get any ideas. That's amazing.
So, and then we watched a couple of things. We'll do that after, but
we'll get that to after. Yeah. What we're watching is after. We do that at the end.
Oh, the other thing is going great is Bitcast. So Bitcast FM, a new podcasting social platform. Basically, just go to bitcast.fm and you can sign up if you have an iOS. And you can see me at Ted. I'm at Ted over there. So, and as you know, any social network, if you can get at your first name,
oh yeah,
then you got in early. You know, that's your badge of honor. Like, as the thing grows, everybody has to like get Ted 333 or something.
Exactly.
Because the
copyright.
And it's just fun to talk about podcasts, to clip podcasts, to listen to people that I like, you know, it's a whole different kind of influencer that sits on there and has like all the thoughtful podcasts, like making sense. A lot of people clip off of that.
Yeah.
You know, Exponent, I like to clip off of that. So you can clip any podcast. And then as you put your clips out there, you get the taste and the feel of other people and what they like to listen to. And then I've listened to podcasts that I've never even thought of. And interacted and joked around and had comments, you know, comment chain threads with tons of people that I've never met. So it's just a fun place to hang out.
There you go, man.
You got to get on there with me, man. Come on.
I feel like I need to change the way I listen to podcasts.
It's a little different. It's a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
I have my morning run podcast that I listen to. I listen to Snacks and What a Day. So I listen to two daily podcasts. And then the other podcasts are harder to do because I have to, if you want to interact with the clips, you know, I do that when I first wake up so that I can still like do stuff. Cause it's kind of, it brings it, you can do the passive secondary task podcast listening, but there is an active part of it that is different.
So what if, let's say, for example, sometimes I find an amazing podcast, or at least one that I think is amazing.
Right.
And it goes back to like 2008, and I want to start binging my way to today, and I'm listening. I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he said. And it's like August 2009 or something.
Right.
I mean, is that even relevant? Even though it's like it's relevant, but does the date matter if it's new or not?
It doesn't matter if you can find it. Yeah. Like I did a search for Ben Thompson just to see what other podcasts these.
No, what I mean is, I'm not saying it's not, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't mean it's not relevant, the topic, but like, because it's so old, do you think people be like, oh, that's so 2009, you know, like I'm not going back 11 years.
Well, I mean, and this is the nice thing is if you were to tell somebody that it's from 2009 and, you know, and they have to listen to the whole podcast, then maybe that's too much of a time commitment. But if I come across the clip that you pulled off of there, then it's 30 seconds from a podcast in 2009 and it's a good idea. There's a lot of good ideas that made sense in 2009 that still make sense today.
Oh, I follow you. I follow you.
So if you just make a comment on a clip of a podcast from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would be just as relevant as today if your comment elevates it and pulls it into the present. So like, you know, it's just like when you read a book, you know, any book is frozen in time. So it's the same thing. When you have a relevant quote from a book, it could be 100 years old, you know, it could be Shakespeare, it could be over that, you know? So it's not, you know, it's like that.
So I interrupted you and you said something, you were like looking for Ben Thompson, something or other.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I basically did a search for Ben Thompson and I came up with a bunch of Ben Thompson interviews and different things he's been on. And then I just clipped a bunch of those episodes to throw them in my queue, and then I just kept them in there so that I could refer back to them. And
see, now his speaking intonation, when you put him at normal speed, you can't understand him. So you have to go to half speed in order to get him normal, and like quarter speed is when he starts sounding drunk.
That's right.
Yeah, that dude speaks 1,000 miles an hour, man. He is so fast.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous fast. I'll have to get on there and try it out. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, try it out. Follow me.
I'll follow you. Yeah, the week was good. You know, again, a short week. So the elf made his debut.
Uh-oh.
So we got an elf on the shelf who decided to pay us a visit. And the boys, a really quick one, you know, you do the mischief that you do with them. So Timmy thought...
Open drawers and stuff, right? Is that what the big thing they do?
Yeah, he does whatever he does, right?
Yeah.
But Timmy's like, that's it, I'm going to set a trap. So he tries to set a trap, and he's like, I said, well, what if you catch him? Well, then I know he's real. I said, what are you going to do with him? I'll let him go. I said, what if you don't catch him?
That's nice.
He said, well, maybe he's not real then. I said, okay. So he sets. So I help him, and we set up this trap with like a box and a stick and a string on the stick and a lollipop at the end of the string. And so the next morning, the trap is sprung, and he's sitting up there, and I had Clarissa eat the lollipop because I'm not a big lollipop. You know, it was like...
Nice.
It was like a Tootsie Pop or something. So there he is sitting there, and he has like the... You know how it has like the chewed up chocolatey like... plastic chocolate stuck at the end.
Yeah.
And he's sitting up on the thing, and he has it like he just finished it. And Tim woke up, he goes, oh my god, he escaped, and he just ate. Oh my god. And he totally thought it was real.
So that's great.
That was the highlight, is he sprung the trap and ate the lollipop, and the kids are still believers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So speaking of believers, I'm a believer in movies where I can understand what the heck people say. I don't understand these crazy accents that you get from people on the other side of the pond.
They're speaking English, you know.
If you could call it that.
It's the Queen's English. It's more English than what we're saying right now.
So The Dig on Netflix.
Netflix The Dig.
You know, I get into this stuff. I like archaeology. I like history. I love that era of history, you know, looking at like
this time frame is beautiful. Yeah.
No. I'm not talking about the World War II or whatever time frame.
Oh, not that one?
No, I'm talking about the medieval.
Oh. The Norse time.
1000 AD time frame or something. Like, I love that, you know? And like, again, with what we're watching, I talked about it last week, Nightfall. That kind of falls in that realm.
Okay, yeah.
Different part of the world. But when he finds the ship and everything, and, you know, I totally dig that. Right? You see what I did there? I want to watch it, but man, this is going to be subtitles.
Subtitles. You... But I mean, this looks like, I don't know, it's like this the historical romantic drama, right? I mean, it's like...
Does the guy seem too old for her?
You know, I think for that time period, I don't think he's too old. I think for me, he...
Or is he just weathered?
I think he hit me as more as a frumpy. He had a frumpiness to him.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
You know, when they cut back to him, when she talks about liking him or something, and they cut back to him, he's got that weird slouch, and he's sticking his belly out. You know what I mean? Like, he's...
You know, when you see a young woman who dresses very matronly and so on, and you say, like, she's matronly, like, in other words, she's, like, old before her time.
Right.
Would you say that this guy is, like, patriarchal or something? Or, I mean, how would you say the same thing for a guy?
Yeah.
Patronly? I don't even know. That doesn't make sense. But you get what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah, but that's how sexist the language is. It's built around this. It's
that's
like,
true.
Oh, yeah. He's just stately. You know what I mean?
He's like, distinguished. He's
distinguished gentleman, you know?
Oh, but the frumpy chick over there who's like 19, who's dressed with like, you know, lacy doilies, she's just matronly. Well, I know Anne's into this. I know she likes it.
She's gonna love this. It's, you know, it's seeping of like, oh, we want to do the English Patient, but we'll get Rafe, but he's much older now. What can we do with him? Oh, let's do the man that walked up a hill that became a mountain or something. You know, do like a little love story. You know, it's great.
I think what would satisfy me is looking up the true story of this, mm-hmm. finding the Wikipedia page, spend 20 minutes reading the Wikipedia page, and I'm done. You know, I learn about the hills or the mounds, whatever they call right. it, what's in the mounds. You know, they dug up all the mounds at some point, and they found all the ships and all this stuff.
Ugh.
I'd be satisfied with just knowing what was there and seeing photographs of it, and I'm done. I don't need to watch a love triangle of some guy digging. But I have to say, the end of the trailer, I like when he said, just tell me where to dig and I'll dig or whatever. And you see like he digs at the moment.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of cute how he did that. He dug.
Well, I will say, like, I too am a big fan of the Norse times or the Viking times of the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. That stuff is so awesome.
And I would, let's see, 1983. 1980?
No, the Norse go way further back.
I'm talking about personal history.
Oh, okay.
It was 1985. I apologize because the sob that we got from Sweden.
You could tell me any lie you want and I'll believe it. Go for it.
The people listen to you.
We got a sob.
We got a sob from Sweden. And of course, my dad, he was like, you know what we need to do if we're going to get this car?
You, your family, and three other American families. No one, who drove a Saab?
We need to go to Sweden to pick up the Saab and then drive it around Europe and then ship it back from Brussels to Baltimore.
That is not how you did it.
That's how we did it. We did a family summer vacation. Oh, it must have been a winter vacation. I don't know.
What did that cost to it would have been so much cheaper to buy it here.
I don't know. He was a little crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, you know, it was experiential before people did experiential things, but you know, as a whim.
Why was he hung up on a sob?
It was just something that he wanted. He wanted like a, I think it was the beginning of maybe a midlife crisis or something like that. You know, and rather than putting all the money into the car, he's like, oh, we can make a vacation out of this too. Anyway, so when we picked up the car, we drove it from Sweden through Norway. Yeah, we drove it all around. And in Norway, we saw one of the biggest Viking ships I've ever seen, like in a museum. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And it was towering and it was inside this museum. And I think they had it dug up, like they put the museum where they dug it up. So it was.
You were like 12.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was amazing. It was an amazing trip. And I think that was the only two things I remember buying. And I found them the other day when I was cleaning out one of these.
Viking ship and a Saab.
No, I bought two little crystal figurines.
Oh, okay.
One of them looked like Hagar the Viking, you know, the cartoon Viking.
Oh, right.
But it was like a Swarovski crystal. It was like, you know, I was just like, oh, you could buy this for $20. Come on. It was like 20 crowns or something, you know.
Yeah, whatever. In the United States, that would cost me $50. But I got it for 20 kroner.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
That's amazing.
So, yes, we will be watching this movie, and you may not.
I might, too. I mean, I like the idea. I like the premise. I like the color palette.
Let us watch it first, and I'll tell you in what we're watching, and then you can decide from there.
Well, Clarissa will definitely watch it with or without me.
Okay, good.
So do I want to be a part of the family or not? That's a question. You know, the color palette has that look. You know, it gives it that time period of like pre-World War II, you know, it's kind of like that grainy sepia.
It's like a sepia.
Yeah,
it's
the sepia tone and all that stuff. And I dig it. I don't know. It's like I just have to watch it with subtitles because, you know, that's the thing. Like we watched The Kingdom. We watched a various number of British TV shows and such.
Right.
And man, I can't understand what on earth they're telling me. You know, I have to put on the subtitles.
That's it.
That's it, man.
At least there's a solve for it.
Hey, I was going to ask, can two trailers make a theme or no?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so we have a cat theme tonight.
You know what? We were racking our heads earlier. I would just say that sometimes cats dig in their litter box.
Well, I thought the same thing. I said, you know what? Sometimes you just have to scratch at the ground.
Oh, there you go.
I did think the same. So, okay, there's our theme. So the Mauritanian, did I pronounce that right? Mauritanian?
Yeah, and I think that's something this trailer does very, very well.
Is pronounce?
The first time I saw this trailer, I'm like, oh my God, that's like the hardest name to say. And at the very end of the trailer, the last thing the VO guy does is he says the name of the trailer.
Because he knows no one can say it.
He knows everyone's like the Martian-tanian, the Manchurian-tanian. You know, it's just like, what are we talking about here?
He's like this American audience who has no culture, no, they're barely getting out of high school these days. We'll need to say it for them.
We'll say it for them, and then we'll spell it, and then we'll say it again.
So what do you think? A Few Good Men? Is there hints of that?
No, come on. You're missing the biggest one. It is the...
Hold on. Let me guess. It's not A Few Good Men?
Not A Few Good Men.
All right. Give me one clue. If I don't get it, you can tell me.
Jodie Foster is switching seats.
Switching seats? Okay, I don't know.
She's gone from being the accused to the defender.
Oh, man, I don't know. Tell me.
You don't know the movie The Accused?
No. Oh, no, I don't know that one.
Oh, so Jodie Foster, you know, she's a child star. She did Taxi Driver, and then she did Candleshoe as a child. But then as she became an adult, one of her early movies was The Accused. And it basically tells the story of a woman who is raped by a bunch of...
Yes!
Well, I don't know. A bunch of gang bikers on the pinball machine.
Yes, and she gets,
and she becomes the accused because of the way she was dressed. She was asking for it, which of course nowadays is just like,
yeah, blame the victim.
You can't even blame you can't even like say anything approaching that, nor should you.
Yes, I have seen that one.
So now, you know, she's playing the Kelly McGillis character where she's defending someone who is accused. And then by the end of it, it's like this beautifully gray area. You know, you think of just to use the image of the plane flying into the Twin Towers. It just feels too soon because it's like within our lifetime. And it's just like, I can't believe that they use this in the trailer and get away with it. And then now they're throwing this grayness into what that is. And yeah, we're all anti-Gitmo, but how are we supposed to feel? So it makes you feel something that you haven't felt in a long time. And you either, if you're our age, then you remember it, you know, like the way our parents remember Kennedy's assassination. It's this pivotal moment
And grandparents remember Pearl Harbor.
Grandparents remember Pearl Harbor, yeah. So our generation, it has this element, and yet we're trying to make this person a person. You know what I mean? And it's a hard thing to do. And they do it in a trailer. It's kind of amazing.
So do you think this movie's coming out because the 20th anniversary is like around the corner? Or do you think that's part of it, or do you think that's coincidence?
Yeah, do you think that was like the scheduled?
I mean, it says February.
Like, how long do we have to wait? You know what I mean? Like, do we wait just shy of 20 years and then we're okay in the clear?
Yeah, does it come out 9/11 weekend?
Right, no, you can't.
Yeah,
do
you
that.
Can't that do that. That's so, too on the nose.
That's not a good taste.
Yeah.
So I have one poster in my office that's not movie related, and back in 2001, during September 11th, I was working at Starbucks, and we closed Starbucks that day. We were in Washington D.C., so we were in one of the cities that was hit. So we closed early. I mean, we closed right in the morning at like 9 o'clock, right when it was happening.
Oh, yeah. No, understandable.
And then later this summer, so then the following summer after that, we came out with these Tazo chais. They were frozen blended tea drinks. And this poster came out. And I was part of the crew that put all the posters up in the store, you know, so I was posting all the posters. And the day after we put the posters up, my manager came to me and she was like, we have to take all these posters down. I was like, well, we just put them up yesterday. And a customer in New York City saw this poster. You see the poster? Did you see us? I sent you the picture. So if you look at the poster.
Collapse into cool.
Collapse into cool. It has two Tazo tall drinks in a sea of straw grass that's all around it. And that dragonfly that looks like it's flying into it.
Oh, yeah.
The woman thought it reminded her too much of 9/11. So company-wide across the country, we had to take all these posters down.
Oh, man, that's incredible.
And I was like, I guess I see it. It felt really sensitive at the time. But I show this to my kids and I explain the story to them. And they're like, Dad, it has the words collapse into cool. Obviously, it's directly meant talking about 9/11. I was like, oh, so I guess the words even, you know, strengthen the idea.
Yeah, but into like collapse, I see. But what does into cool mean?
No, I think they were focused. They're fixated on collapse and the story behind it. And, right. You know, it plays into itself. But anyway, I thought I got to save this because, you know, it was such a pivotal moment in our lives and continues to be. But yes, at first blush, it felt like it was a little too much. But by the end of the trailer, I think it earns it. It earns the one quick shot of the plane going into the towers just because of the way it seems to play it very dead on.
So two questions. One, looking at the topic, what this story is about, based on a true story, the gravity of the story, does this need a trailer to the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer to the trailer is problematic. The only thing it really accomplishes is it gives us Benedict Cumberbatch and his American accent again. He loves doing his American accent. And it gives him that military look. Yeah, I mean, I really don't think it needs it. And if you do a trailer to trailer for this, I think you do one of those character montages where you show the high caliber of actors that are in this. You know, you kind of quickly cut from each character to character.
Okay, but I like that.
They did the thing that we say is the worst of the trailer to trailer, which is the line of dialogue that is crucial in the even though it's late in the trailer.
Right.
To just repeat it in the 2 minutes is just feels wasteful.
Question number two, what if they had a line of dialogue, the dialogue is irrelevant. They just had a line of dialogue and they showed the plane flying into the tower. Would that be just like an over the top, like trailer to the trailer that would just destroy what you're about to see? Or what's your thoughts of that?
Yeah, I think.
Too intense?
No, I think that's
too insensitive?
No, I think it has, you know, like I said, it hadn't earned it at the moment in which it played it, the clip of the 9/11 clip. But the 9/11 clip is a little bit in, right? Like it's not right at the top.
Yeah. No, it's not at the top. It's maybe like 30 seconds in or so. Yeah, exactly.
It's a quarter of the way in. Yeah, so it's a quarter of the way in. But yeah, I think you couldn't put it in the trailer to the trailer
because it almost downplays the gravity of it.
Yeah, that would cheapen it.
Right,
it's right in the right spot, and then it earns it on the back end, but after the fact, after you're shown it, you're kind of shocked into it. You know, if you weren't watching it intently, I think if you see it out of the corner of your eyes, you're going to watch after the Twin Tower shot.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to show more live coverage, or not live, but actual coverage?
Not necessarily live, but you kind of.
I mean, do they need to? I don't think they need to.
I was like, I was suspicious of their motives of showing it. And I was more on alert to say, like, do you earn that reveal early on? And I think they do. I think the shot that, and I don't know if it exists in the movie, but Benedict Cumberbatch has a great intensity to him. And I think the line that they chose was just kind of this laid back line. And I think they need the Jack, you know, a few good men. They need the Jack. You can't handle the truth. They need something with that kind of intensity where he's ramped up in the courtroom saying something, you know?
A pivotal line.
An emotional line.
An emotional line, yeah.
An emotional line. It needs to sell him and his emotion, you know? Like, you know, he killed his, you know, his friend, you know? He was part of the you know, the conspiracy that killed his friend and took over his plane, you know? So, yeah, you know, I really want to see this.
Oh, yeah, this looks incredible. And, I mean, I think it will be emotionally charged. This past school year, 9/11, of course, they talk about it and everything. And so Timmy was asking me questions about it.
They call it Patriots Day, though, right?
Yeah, and he was talking to me about it and everything. And some of the stuff he was talking about and the questions he was asking, I got choked up, teary-eyed and everything. And because, you know, I served in the Army shortly after all that.
Yeah.
What got me the most choked up was that my kids live in a world and are growing up in a world where things like that are possible. Because I didn't think, you know, until it happens, you don't think things like that are possible.
Right.
And then you see this, you know, the 7-year-old boy who's asking questions about it and talking about it and stuff. And he wants to know some details and, you know, and he's aware of what it's about and everything. And he knows about the terrorism and the buildings and, you know, the whole thing. Obviously, you know, you don't want to like not say anything or you don't want to never tell him about it and stuff, but you're like, man, it's like a 7-year-old ready for the gravity of what this means and stuff.
Did he ask the question? Could it happen again?
No, he didn't ask that.
Okay.
That's a good question. But he was just asking, I think, more the details on, you know, like what happened, how did it happen, why did it happen, all that kind of stuff. But not the could it happen again.
Yeah. My kids are older and obviously that's where their brains go. They're like, what are we doing to make sure this doesn't happen again? That was their big thing.
Do you remember in the early 80s, there was a nuclear war movie, like The Day After Tomorrow or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was called? The Day After Tomorrow?
It was like a TV movie, right? It was really like a high, yeah.
Made for TV. It was like an ABC or something.
Yeah.
Or The Day After, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it was The Day After, something like that. And I remember I was probably like, I don't know, 12 years old or 11 years old or something. And I went to bed crying. I was so freaked out, right?
Why did our parents let us watch it? I was 9. I watched it too.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
What's going on? Why are we watching that?
It's insane. I think because there was only 3 channels at the time. And it's like you watch this or you watch nothing. So we're watching it. You're watching it too. No, and I remember my dad's trying to like ease my anxiety. He's trying to say, well, you know, we've been living under the bomb since, you know, when I was a kid in the 50s and, you know, and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't help.
And you haven't de-escalated in all this time? Come on. Let's get this salt together, man.
That's like 40 years ago.
You're not helping, Dad.
40 years later, we're in a worse scenario than we were back then. Come on, you know. But yeah, I was quite anxious and freaking out going to bed that night, I remember. And
yeah.
And after 9/11, I remember Timmy was talking about stuff, and I was just I remembered back to when I was his age when those questions. Actually, I was even older, but when those things were coming out, and I was just like, how do I give him the answers he's looking for, but not say it in such a way that he completely freaks out?
Right.
Overall, the Mauritanian. The Mauritanian. I never heard of a Mauritanian.
Me either. Yeah.
Where is Mauritania? And do we need any more Mauritania? All right, man. Let's get back. Let's get to the last one. We'll lighten it up. The second half. Or, well, okay, if we count the scratching of the earth, the third trailer theme of Cats. Call me Cat.
Call me Cat.
Yeah. You know what I didn't like?
Tell me.
The title. Because when you look at the YouTube title,
mm-hmm.
She starts off the trailer, "Now My Life Is Awesome." And then when you look at the trailer, I'm sorry, the title to the trailer. The title says, Now My Life is Awesome. So I thought that was the name of the TV show, Now My Life is Awesome. And right at the end, you learn, it's called Call Me Cat.
Huh.
So they're not really clear. If you were going to watch the first like 20 seconds of this teaser trailer, which isn't really a teaser trailer, it's 2.5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But if you're going to watch the first 30 seconds, you're going to think the name of the TV show is Now My Life is Awesome. And you're going to tell your friends, have you seen Now My Life is Awesome? You know, and people are like, what are you talking about? But I don't know. What's your thought?
My thought is that, like, can they catch lightning in a bottle? Are they doing – so Big Bang Theory is a thing, was a thing.
You think it's too close to Big Bang Theory?
No. So it's Jim Parson produced.
Jim Parson produced, and Mayim Bialik is the main actress. So you have that Big Bang vibe going on, but this isn't Big Bang territory.
It's not Big Bang. I don't see anything about Chuck Lorre in it. And to me, Chuck Lorre is the quintessential piece of Big Bang Theory. He's the thing that makes Big Bang Theory the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, he's amazing.
And he's had great shows.
So do you say Chuck Lorre or Chuck Lorre?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was Chuck Lorre. Lorre's probably right.
Well, maybe.
Lorre's probably right. So yeah, so Chuck Lorre and Jim Parsons. So this one's kind of trying to get in that shadow in the realm and trying to ride the wave. So I'm interested. It feels like if you're going to go for a subgroup, get all the people that want Big Bang Theory and don't have it anymore and need some weekly, you know, Jim Parsons nourishment. But you said you're not into it, but you're a big Big Bang Theory fan.
Well, how many seasons does it run? 12 or something, or 11?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say 12. I don't even know. I bowed out maybe season 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it goes back to The Walking Dead. Like, you know, it's
too much.
Like, I really liked that show. I thought the show was, like, I just enjoyed it. It was just all around good, wholesome fun, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But, man, come on. How many seasons are you going to drag it out? At some point, you told the story you want to tell. End it. I get it. Now they're married, and now I don't even know where it went from there because I stopped watching. The one thing I would say, though, is I do like how she breaks the fourth wall.
Right.
Although I don't know if I like every time she breaks the fourth wall, like she does it here and there within the show. It looks as though when the short little white-haired guy talks about hitting that,
yeah,
it kind of fades away as she's laughing with what the guy said.
Right.
I get the sense it's one of those like Saturday Night Live. It's live. People are trying to hold it together during like a bit or a skit.
Oh. Did they break? You know, did the other actors break? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I get the sense that's what happened there. And if it is, and they keep it filming and they keep it going and she has to recover from that and stuff, that might be a cool way to do it and a cool way to play it out.
Right.
If that's just a staged actress thing where he says that and then it's kind of like, oh, I'm supposed to laugh here and that's my line or my scene to like chuckle to make the audience, like to draw the audience into laughing. But if she, like, Harvey Korman used to do that all the time on the Carol Burnett show. He would lose his shit every episode and just laugh at whatever. Who is the little guy? Tim Conway.
Right. Tim was great at keeping it straight while everybody else is like falling to pieces around him.
Yeah, he held it together, and everyone else would just lose their minds. And if Mayim Bialik does that, where she loses it, and they keep it part of the show and stuff, I think it would be a cool show in that regard.
Right.
We'll have to watch and find out, I guess. The way she breaks the fourth wall is kind of good. I hope it's not overplayed or overdone to the point of like, okay, it was funny, now we're just annoying.
Yeah, it's too, like, and the way that they do it, that cutting to the other camera and like, you know, it could get tired. It could get tired very quickly.
That's what I mean, you know, like,
yeah.
Where, what was his name? Mr. Roper.
Oh, yeah.
He would give
that knowing glance to the camera with the nod.
That's all it was.
That's all it was.
Was an affirmative nod to the camera. And he wouldn't play up to it.
Right.
And it was subtle and it was sparse. They didn't do it often, but when they did it, you were like, that's right.
And usually, I feel like...
God, we're going some deep pulls back to the 70s with Harvey Korman. And
hey, what come are we on, doing? Are we some old...
Oh my God, we're aging ourselves.
We're old. But yeah, no, I loved it. And I think it also gives everybody a moment to like catch your breath and
right.
We don't have to make sure that we're listening. We can
That's a good way to put it too, though. Yeah. You
know, yeah.
It's not so fast. Like it slows down the pace a little bit so everybody can kind of get their laugh in. And then you get back to the story.
I'm interested to see how well this does. I'm interested to see. It really just feels like one of the last linear plays. You know, I thought that linear was going to, you know, move silently off into the sunset with the end of Big Bang Theory because it was like the last.
Do you think that for real? You don't think they're going to keep going?
I mean, they're going to keep going, but will they keep being successful? That's the question.
Oh, yeah. Those are two different questions.
So I mean, you know, Big Bang Theory was successful. It was beyond successful. It was a juggernaut.
Yeah. Like I said, what was it? 11, 12, 13 years or something it ran. It's like incredible. But you know, Mayim Bialik is a PhD neuroscientist.
That's right. That's right. I think right here, right in
UCLA.
UCLA, yeah.
Yeah, she's a pretty interesting gal. I listened to a podcast. So Stephen Levitt, one of the Freakonomics dudes, he has a podcast called People I Mostly Admire. And he interviewed her.
Is he like giving himself an out? Like, I don't completely admire them. I mostly admire them.
You know, it's funny, though. I think that's his play on it. Like, you know, just in case something happens, I can escape. But she was, I don't remember, but she was like his third, fourth guest or something on the podcast because it's a relatively new podcast. And she was like a really fun listen. I mean, she's a really cool gal, you know, like obviously really intelligent. I mean, a PhD mm-hmm. for crying out loud in neuroscience, but she's been in television for a long time. She talks about her entrance into television and the acting space. And, you know, I mean, she was Blossom, obviously, going back to the 90s. And, yeah, I mean, she's just a really interesting... I mean, I think she's like a mom of two or four kids or something. I don't remember exactly. I'm going to say two. I could be wrong. But, yeah, she's like a mom of a few kids and, you know, an all-around really interesting person. And I really liked that interview. And then to see her here... That interview would probably get me to watch this more than Big Bang Theory because Big Bang Theory was just another TV show, which I know nothing about her personally. But that interview that Stephen Levitt did got me to learn about her personally and to learn how interesting she was. And because of that, it's like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to see what she's up to and see if she can hang with out all the other characters of the cast. So I don't know. We'll see. Because sometimes people are funny when they have the crutch of everyone else.
Yeah.
And remove all those people and it kind of shows your chops.
Right.
And she might have some, I mean, I'm sure she has good acting chops, but I'm saying though, like if you remove everybody else out of the image and all that support and you're done, like you were the one-liner zinger person of the scene. But is that enough to carry an entire show for seasons on end?
I mean, she came into the show really late, right?
She was like, I don't remember exactly, but season three, maybe? Season four?
Okay. So not as late as I thought. I thought she came in like she was jumping the shark with only like three seasons left. But you're saying she came in much earlier than that.
Oh, no. She was in for a long time. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, you're three or four seasons in and then you wind up just being a girlfriend or something. I mean... Maybe it was a jump the shark move that worked. you know, I know some of the other guys had their girlfriends come in or whatever. And then there was the, you know, and maybe they just kept like, let's just see what happens. And they just kept, the fans were so like rabid and so on to the show that they just figured like we could do anything and we're going to keep going at some point. Like we got to end this.
Right. Right.
You know? And again, I don't even know how it ended.
So it's so funny. You brought up a podcast with, how do you say it? It's not Maya. It's Mayim.
I think it's Mayim Bialik.
Mayim. Yeah.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
So you brought up a podcast with Mayim.
Or Mayim Bialik.
Mayim Bialik. And I was listening to a podcast, somebody, Monkey D. Trevante, one of my friends in Bitcast.
Wait, say that slower.
Monkey D. Trevante.
Monkey D. Trevante?
Yes.
Okay.
That's his handle.
Oh, that's a handle. Yeah. I was like, who names their kid Monkey?
Anyway, he was talking about a podcast, and I've heard about it a lot, but he finally got me excited about it enough to listen to a couple of them.
Okay.
Michael Rosenbaum. You know Michael Rosenbaum?
Don't know him. No. Never heard.
He was Lex Luthor in the Smallville series.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. after getting all the Smallville money and, you know, trying to deal with the fame and, you know, the success of that, you know, he kind of slowed it down and did this podcast, and he was really good at interviewing in a podcast. And he interviewed one of my favorite actresses, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know who she is.
From Party of Five back in the day, and now she's on 9-1-1. And apparently she was, you know, when you first come to LA and you're anybody, you know, you go to live at the Oakwood. So she was living in Oakwood, and I was like, oh my God, Ann and I lived at the Oakwood for like 2 months when we got here.
Hoping
to get a job behind the camera. We weren't like up in front of the camera.
Right.
But it's so funny because she was at the Oakwood, and she was at the Oakwood with Jonathan Galecki.
Okay.
And Jonathan Galecki is the other, you know, lead from Big Bang Theory. So it was just like, it's so funny to know that like everybody who's anybody – spent some time passing through the Oakwood, you know?
But for Ted Willett. No, <I'm...
laughs> anybody who's everybody and other people.
That's right.
But, you know, when you join Bitcast, I'll tag you in those clips that I made off of Jennifer Love Hewitt's episode with him.
You know, I might give it a try. I'm not saying I'm going to be a fan of it. I might give it a try, you know, at least an episode or two, see where it goes. It seems like it's turn off your brain when you don't feel like being stressed over COVID stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like a lot of fun. Oh, you know what? And I think she was talking about it on the podcast. I don't remember if she said the name or not.
Okay.
Because it was a while back, but I think she said, I'm working on a project. I can't talk about it.
There you go.
Or something. So this is probably it. Because it was like over the summer or something.
Tell me that Frank and Barbara, this is right in their wheelhouse, don't you think?
I don't know. Barbara, maybe. I don't think okay. Frank would be into this.
He needs Bosch. He needs like the the crime procedural. He liked Big Bang Theory, I thought.
Yeah, on and off. You know, when it comes to like television and movies and stuff, Frank's kind of an enigma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's into, and I don't really think he is into much. He's not a big TV watcher. You know, I don't know. Frank's like, he likes reading. He likes getting into stuff. He does watch some things, but I don't think he can stick with things season after season, episode after episode. I don't think, like, you know, if you look at The Mandalorian, like, if you can't wrap it all up in one episode, I think he's done.
Too much.
I don't really know. I mean, I never really found him to be a fan of any one particular show.
Okay.
Or even a movie. Like, he'll talk about Star Wars or something, but then it's like the one movie, and then it's like one particular scene.
Right.
And then he just never, like, releases from that. Anyway, speaking of watching, what are you watching?
Well, have you seen the latest Mandalorian? Have you seen this week's Mandalorian or not yet?
We watched it right before this episode.
I'm so glad you did.
Yes.
It everyone gets better.
Boba Fett
was
when
there.
When I saw the Slave One fly in, I was like, oh my God.
Here he is.
How no, not even that.
Oh.
Who the hell got Boba's ship? That was my thought. Who?
Oh, because his armor was with the sheriff.
Well, no. Well, there's that. And I knew the Mandalorian still had Boba's armor.
The armor. Right, right.
But I'm thinking, now who's flying his ship? Like, everybody's going to have a piece of this guy. You know, and the way I was looking, my thinking was, when I first saw fly in, was, okay, he's got the armor. Someone else has the ship. Who's going to have, like, his jetpack or whatever it was?
Right, right.
And it's all going to come into but no, it was Boba Fett, man. It was amazing. I loved it.
I guess we should have led with spoilers. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen.
You know what? Anybody who's a fan, if you don't
watch it, yeah.
When this comes out, it's a week old.
Right, right.
It's on you. That's all I got to say. And if you're deployed in the military and you can't watch for months on end, well, I'm sure your family's already ruined it for you. I'm sorry.
I will say, when I saw him walk up, and, you know, he goes off and he gets his armor and he comes back. And when he has that armor on and he's got, like, the sand people, but he's the black robe underneath.
Well, he has the gaffy stick and he's beating the hell out of everybody with it.
No. And he's using it like he's used it for 40 years.
You know, right. He's like a master.
He's a master wielding it like any good sand people. What Tuscan Raider.
Well, it was funny. It was funny. So I said, what are the sand people again? And Timmy's like, Dad, the sand people are the Tuscan Raider. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's like, come on. How do you not know that?
Stay up with the times, old man.
He's totally like Star Wars shaming me. I'm like, who is a 7-year-old? You know, like, what is he doing to me?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know, I have the figurine of Chewbacca and Han Solo when they go back to the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, you know, we're home, you know, when they come in the ship. I have a figurine from Disneyland that I bought, World of Disney.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Downtown Disney. And when I saw Boba Fett in his armor with the sand, with that robe sticking out underneath and his, you know.
But it really wasn't their robes because
it was like a black version of like the Tusken Raider gear. It had elements of Tusken Raider. It's kind of like the way Death Troopers aren't Stormtroopers from Rogue One.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, so I think it had that cool, you know, inspired by look. And when he was just standing there in all his glory, I'm like, that's the next figurine. Like, you sold me on, you know, on a sub $200. Please keep it under $200. But if there was a figurine, like if there's a, you know, like a 12-inch or an 18-inch figurine that was Boba Fett in his, you know, Mandalorian gear, I would buy that.
And I don't know if it was the grain of film from back in the day, or if it's, you know, the HD video that we have in the modern time and all that stuff. But the gaffy stick, is that what it's called, right? A gaffy stick, I think.
I don't know that. I know Tusken Raider. I guess we have to ask Timmy.
No, but I think it's called a gaffy stick. I could be wrong, but it just seems like it was too polished. It was too refined and too clean looking and not weathered on the sands of Tatooine or something. It was almost like the edges were very polished and smooth, and the knurls were very like it was never used before or something. You know what I mean? And
yeah. You know, I did think that. And I think maybe Tusken Raiders use a subpar metal to make theirs, and that's what makes them so ragged. And maybe he uses Beskar.
Oh, but it's not silver, though. It was black.
Right, right. But, you know, it's like a...
Like the spear was the only thing that survived.
Oh, my God.
Of the blown-up ship.
That was so devastating. The Razor Crest getting destroyed was devastating to us.
I think the... I don't even know, what would you call it, like that force field thing getting into Grogu.
Yeah.
That was kind of like he was learning the force in a way, because then when he was in the ship.
Oh, he was kicking ass.
He was kicking ass, but it took so much energy from him. Do you think he learned that stuff from that force field, or what do you think all that was?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is like an infusion of the force, a focusing of the Force from the Jedi that remain or whatever. There are two things about that. Like right when he gets placed on the rock and nothing happens to him, you know, the Mandalorian's like, do your thing, you know. They have some of the most babyish utterances from Grogu. And I was like, oh my God. Like, to me, that was the indication that they were ending it. That they were ending Grogu as a child.
Oh, okay.
That this was going to be his bat mitzvah. His Jedi bat mitzvah was going to be this beam of light. And then everyone in my family was yelling, like, he's aging. He's aging. Look at him age. And, he like ages like 50 years in 5 minutes. And then, you know, when, like you said, when he's captured on the ship and he's like, he's force like tossing around these stormtroopers. It's great. It's amazing. And just the stormtrooper carnage throughout this episode. As the credits roll and it shows you Robert Rodriguez, like I didn't know before going into this that Robert Rodriguez directed this. But after you see Robert Rodriguez's name on the first card up with directed by, you're just like, oh, that explains so much. Like, it explains this carnage of stormtrooper, you know, just dying left and right and just getting their faces smashed at every turn. It was like every Rod Robert.
Well, tell me about that. How does that explain it?
Robert Rodriguez is just known for like this gritty action type of movie. You know, he just puts people in the impossible sequences where, you know, two criminals have to, you know, battle their way out of a vampire saloon, you know, from dusk till dawn. And it's like, you know, it's these impossible situations that he puts people in.
Wasn't George Clooney in that?
Yeah, George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino, yeah.
Yeah, that movie was amazing.
I love that movie so much. So yeah, so it's a Robert Rodriguez film, basically, for an hour. And it's got Bubba Fett saying, I'm Bubba Fett, like, multiple times.
When he threw back the hood, my first thought was, is that Boba Fett? Like, I thought he was dead, you know? Like, oh, man, I just love, like...
Yeah.
What I love in this season is they're given the nod to all the original Star Wars trilogy fans.
Yeah.
And they're saying, like, you know what? We've ignored you in all of this stuff, and we're bringing you right back full circle.
Right.
We're gonna bring everybody back. Everybody's, you know, not everybody, obviously, but all these actors, characters, like, they brought Luke Skywalker back with Rey and all that.
Right.
And maybe Luke Skywalker is a big enough character and you need him for the big screen. And Boba Fett might be like more of a minor character, but big enough to be like known and everything because he's a Mandalorian. You have the Mandalorian. The one thing I was disappointed though, once he put the helmet on and he starts kicking ass, and then you see him later and he has the helmet off again. It's like, no, man, you got to leave the helmet on, you know? Like, once it goes back, once the armor gets recovered and goes back on, it all needs to be worn always.
Yeah. And it's so funny. I kind of geeked out in the middle when he puts the scope on and he targets the ships that are taken off, and then he leans over to shoot the rocket off his jetpack, you know?
Hits the wrong... I was aiming for the other one.
But I geeked out over... I turned to Anne. I said, did you know that the original Kenner action figure had a shootable rocket out of the back?
That's amazing.
But it was such a limited release because it was a choking hazard, so they had to stop production on it, and they only produced like 1,000 of them. So if you have one that has the shootable rocket in its original packaging, it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars.
Like, you can retire on it.
and Anne was basically like, shut up, nerd. You sound way too nerdy.
No, you know what, though? That is nerdy, but at the same time, things like that, shockingly, are worth outrageous amounts of money.
Yeah.
You just have to find the people to pay the outrageous amounts of money.
Right.
All right, enough of Mandalorian talk for the week. More Nightfall. We're still watching that show. And, you know, I started talking about that last Sunday. Go back and listen if you want to listen. It's a great show. It's like I said, it looks like it's a History Channel show. Overall, entertaining. I like the time period around 1200, right in the medieval era, and the Mandalorian, and that's all we've been watching. How about you?
Definitely Mandalorian. That was our well, I think it was a co, like, okay, so on Fridays at lunchtime, you know, at lunchtime during the week, we watch movies and we usually, you know, split it up half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on what I have going on work-wise. But on Fridays, we reserve Fridays for Mandalorian.
Okay.
So we went into Mandalorian.
Yeah, but that's, what time does it come out, though?
Comes out midnight. Midnight on Thursday night. So you could watch it after midnight.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if the when the kids get home, just go and watch it. So we
or
do
stay
that
up really late.
Well, you want to watch it with the kids. So,
no, I know.
So when I was pulling it up to watch Mandalorian, I was like, oh my God, Mulan. Mulan's here for free. We've waited out the $30. We've done it. We've paid our dues and time has passed. And now it's and Anne was like, that doesn't come out till December. I was like, baby, it's December.
The funny thing is, you know, we have these advent calendars that the kids have, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing that's been going on this week, the Star Wars advent calendar. And we have a chocolate advent calendar, too.
I did both. I was like, we got to have the chocolate and the advent.
Exactly.
I would hate to spend so much money on the Star Wars advent calendar and have Bryce be disappointed. So everybody got their own special calendar. And then everybody got a chocolate calendar like we do every year.
Yeah. So the boys after breakfast, because that's the thing, get dressed, brush teeth, eat breakfast. You can open the next.
Oh, nice.
So it makes the mornings go quicker. I don't know what we're going to do in January. Go back to what we used to do is yell at everybody, you know, but.
Oh, yelling. You wish yelling worked better than it works in your head. Like when you're doing it, you're like, this is going to work. And then it just doesn't work. And then it's frustrating.
I know. I'm going to yell, eat. And they're going to eat. And they don't eat. Right.
Wait, when the Razor Crest exploded, Bryce turned to me and said, I haven't opened the Razor Crest. It's on the outside of the box. I wanted to open it when it was still a valid thing.
You know, it's hilarious. I'm frying an egg this morning, uh-huh. And the boxes are sitting on the bar in front of me with the backs to them. Uh-huh. And I'm flipping an egg as the egg's like in mid flip. I'm like, oh, look, the Razor Crest.
Oh, hilarious.
So we do that, and then to get them to eat dinner, they get their little piece of chocolate after dinner.
There you go. Perfect. Good.
That's
time.
How we're
good
doing time. It. Yeah. So this morning was Luke Skywalker, and yesterday was Luke's house.
Right. The with the, what is it? The moisture.
The moisture collectors? Farmer.
Moisture, yeah,
they're,
farmer.
They're moisture farmer. Well, here's the funny thing. So Luke today had the binocular things.
Right, right.
So they take Luke's house and they put it like across the room and they said, well, it's really small because it's far away. He was like a 7-year-old, right?
They're like using binoculars.
And that's why he needs the binoculars because it's far away. That's why it's small. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. Sure. Yeah.
So anyway, so Mulan, back to Mulan. So we finally
watched
Mulan.
Yeah, sorry to derail you with
Advent calendar. Hey, Mandalorian and Advent and everything it's all upon us. But anyway, Mulan, I had heard some people pan it. I had heard some people dislike it. It doesn't have the singing. It doesn't have the fun characters of Mushu or the cricket. It has a soldier named Cricket who says that he's lucky. But it had a heart and it had a beautiful story. And you know, halfway through the first half of it, I was like, oh, I just want to play the song that goes with the scene. Cause they tease you with like this thematic orchestral number that kind of sounds like the song that they would play in that area. Like when they're all training and stuff, it's like, let's get down to business. You know, that kind of the theme of that song plays in the background. But by the second half, I'm completely bought into this as its own thing. I almost wish that they had named it something other than Mulan.
Why? You don't think it follows?
It's its own movie. It's its own movie, and it needs to be unshackled from the idea of Mulan. You know, I think it's like a Mulan story. It's like a different telling of the same time frame. And I think that's, you know, it can't be a sequel. It can't be a prequel. It's like a different quill. You know what I mean? It's like an alternate universal quill.
It doesn't follow the same emotion almost.
It doesn't follow the same emotion, but it has its own. It has its own pace. It has its own payoff. And it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It's a retelling of a very similar story, but it's almost like in oral tradition, as you know, generations tell a story, it has to develop in such a way that the new generation can access it at different points.
I like that, because if you look at like an oral history,
yeah,
oral histories change and evolve and become what they are.
Because the storyteller has to take into account the audience
and the current culture, the current society,
the current, yeah, everything that's current. Yeah,
I like that.
So it's like, let's not just rehash the same story. Let's take it and elevate the villains. And you know, like, the villains have to be multidimensional, you know what I mean? So you have a villain that has an arc to them, and it tells its own story. And by the time at the end, you know, when you're rooting, when you're sad that the villains are dying because they're redeeming themselves, I was like, this redemption was not around when the first Mulan made its way through, you know?
Yeah.
So this different aspect of the storytelling was just so well done that it just needs to be a Mulan story, the way that Rogue One is a Star Wars story and not, you know, part of the same thing, although it leads into it.
Doesn't have to be canon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's canon, but it's like canon for the time. You know, it's like a
yeah, I know what you mean. So, I know what you mean.
Anyway, that's it. Mostly that. And then just the last note, I finished up Ted Lasso for the fifth
again,
time.
Again.
The family. But I finished with the family.
And what about West Wing?
West Wing, we're still going strong.
Oh, you're still going West
Wing. We've got a lot more seasons in West Wing. But the kids have checked out on West Wing. They're like, we no longer want to watch West Wing over lunch. We'll watch other things.
We're tired of your 90s political drama. So irrelevant.
I wish it was irrelevant, but everything they talk about is still stuff that we're fighting with and focused on today.
Yeah, I know. Sadly,
That's the sad, bitter part of it. But yeah, no. I mean, Ted Lasso, it was not in New York Times top of 2020, so I'm kind of bitter about that. So we'll see what top of 2020s it makes. So I think it's just doesn't have a big enough audience on Apple TV Plus.
I was about to say it's probably hamstrung by Apple TV Plus, because I mean the market share of that streaming service has to be minuscule.
It's niche.
Which begs the question why the Greyhound movie with Tom Hanks released on that. They probably threw a ton of cash to say, if it doesn't go anywhere, don't worry about it, we'll still pay you.
What about Warner Brothers news this week? Did you hear?
Oh, I don't know. Enlighten.
Every single 2021 theatrical release will have a matching day and date release on HBO Max.
Oh, wow.
Does that get you to subscribe?
Depends on the release.
Wonder Woman 1984 is being released on Christmas Day. I think we're going to subscribe for that, and then we're going to see what they release.
Okay. I would say if they have a half a dozen good releases, yeah, I think I might.
I mean, just, are you into DC Comics at all? I mean, there's going to be like 4 DC Comics releases this year, I think.
Am I into DC at all? I like DC way better than Marvel.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you said that before. So
I'm a DC guy.
So there you go. There's another Suicide Squad that's coming out this year. It's going to be day and date. Like, you know, even with the vaccine, I don't think I'm ready to go back to the theaters in 2021.
No, I would agree with that.
So I think day and date throughout 2021... HBO Max, you have my money, you know, take my money. And
what is it, $15 a month?
Yeah, I think something like that.
What does it cost to go to in the movies? $15 a person?
A person, yeah.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
$15 a person for one movie. You could subscribe $15 a month, which gets you the whole family. In your case, that's 4 people. My kids are probably still a little bit too young.
But you have to pay for a babysitter or something like that, so... That's even more, right?
you have all the shows that are all the movies that are coming out. You have all the shows. You have all their back catalog if you want to get into some of that stuff.
Right, right, right.
I mean, hell, man, I would watch Game of Thrones again. You know, I mean, it's worth it for that alone.
In 2021, the next season of Barry is going to come out and you're going to be all over that. Come on.
Barry's a good show. And I like how the last season ended.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oh, and I was looking at my calendar and January 12th, Hulu stops pausing. So they go right back into there.
Okay.
So I could pause it right again, but maybe I'll see what's on there. I don't know. But, and really quick, You sent me the thing about the top shows from 2020.
Only to say that Ted Lasso's not on it. That's why I wanted to tell you, send that to you.
The thing about it, though, is I couldn't tell you like 90% of any of the shows on there.
Yeah, that's that East Coast elite, you know.
But they had on Hulu, they had...
What Do We Do in the Shadows?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, it was great.
I saw that. I was like, all right. They have 40 other shows I never heard of, but they got that one. Okay, they redeemed themselves.
Credible. They're a credible source now. Oh, wait. Before we finish, I want to tell you one thing. I looked up the Boba Fett action figure hits eBay from June 2020, so very recent, $225,000.
Wait, send me the link. What is it?
The Boba Fett action figure that was the prototype. It's the Holy Grail of the Star Wars collection, a prototype of never released rocket-firing Boba Fett action figure. So it was never released. So that's why there's only like, I don't even...
That's why it's so much money. That's the thousand... That's the one you told Anne about.
I thought it was 1,000, but they destroyed all the prototypes. So this is just a prototype.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's put it in our show notes. And if anyone wants to buy it, hit up Trailer Junkies Podcast and we'll give you a shout out.
We'll put a picture of you next to your prototype.
Smiling.
Smiling because you can drop $250,000 on a toy.
Yeah. And if, boy. So, okay, I want to give a last tasting note on the beer.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. We always do that after we cut. So, yeah, let's do the tasting notes.
So, what I want to say is this beer is like, as it's warmed, as it's getting older, and not should say older, but as it's sitting here, like warming and it's getting way more boozy and way more like sticky.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm buzzed off. I'm buzzed, man.
I'm totally buzzed.
This 13% is rocking my world, but the side of the glass is like, I mean, I'm waiting for fruit flies to be getting on the side of it. It's all, you know.
In wine, we call that legs, you know, when you swirl a bottle of wine, when you swirl a glass of wine and it.
No, I'm talking about like where the mouth hits the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I put my glass, I got to like pull it away and my lip sticks. Yeah, it's just sticky.
You know what's going to take care of that? My new dishwasher. That's right.
Oh, you can't put the Carmelite glass in a dishwasher?
I can't. Damn it.
Do you put these?
It's got no gold. It's got no gold on it, though. I thought. Oh.
Yeah, but you're going to ruin the little crest.
Fine, I'll hand wash this. Damn it.
I hand wash all my beer glasses.
Okay.
I never put a beer glass in. Never put a beer glass in a dishwasher.
Okay. Do you have one of those sink jets, like a bottle jet?
I do. It's a.
You do?
No, for the
bearing, right? For the.
I have one that screws on to the faucet.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, yeah. when I put it cleans my bottles, but I don't have one specific for glasses like a bar. But that would be a like if ever I built a bar, that would be a good pull.
Oh, I would love to have the flex of like,
you know.
let me clean that glass for you before you have a beer.
Yeah, you just jet it for like a second. Frank, no need to pour that stout into an IPA. Let me clean it for you and we'll get you, you know. Anyway, though, yeah, I would say it's the glass is sticky because there's a ton of sugar and it's like more boozy. It's just more alcohol.
Yeah, everything kind of strips away. it's amazing what a bottle and a little oxidation can do to it, you know, and the warmth of your hand, you know.
Yeah, and it's still amazing though, man. Which glass do you have? Oh, you have the same glass I have, the Carmelite glass.
We're doing the Carmelite tonight. But I filled it up.
I filled mine to the top and I gave Clarissa like about 4 ounces off of it.
Nice.
I couldn't give her too much, man. And I always go with the excuse, baby, if I give you, it's a 13.5%er. You know, I don't want you to get drunk.
I don't want to knock you out.
I know how lightweight you are, you know.
And one last thing.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so as we're finishing up, obviously doing the washing machine, the dishwasher.
The dishwasher.
Anne comes in and is like, oh, you guys are still, you know, slugging away at that thing. And she said, you're going to have to buy Frank a case of beer. You know, or she said a 6-pack. And I was like, not in the beer that we like. I'm just going to buy Frank one beer, but it'll be a very nice beer.
One beer. That's $30.
Okay. And with that, we'll call it a night.
All right, Ted, man. We'll talk to you next week for episode 142.
Awesome. See you then.
Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.